And I heard this deep, deep, and I'm talking like, and then it just got louder too. It's like a high-pitched scream that I've never heard before in all my life of being in the woods. And I hit the damn key, boom, and I never looked back, and I hauled ass. And it kept getting closer, and the limbs and stuff were breaking, I mean, crunching. And I just got so scared, I thought it was right on the other side of me, so I levered my 30-30 and I shot it.
Hi all, J.D. Hughes here with a local gentleman, Tom, that has a couple of great Sasquatch encounters to tell us about. Hi Tom, why don't you start us out with a little bit about your background?
Well, I was born in Fremont, never saw it. Moved up here when I was about 7 or 8 years old. Spent most of my life in this county.
And where in the county did you grow up about?
Tuolumne and Longbarn.
Longbarn. Okay, and you were about 7 or 8 years old?
Yeah.
Okay, so what was your first encounter of knowing about Sasquatch? Like when you were a kid, did your family talk about it? How'd you hear about it?
Well, as kids, we always had big barbecues and outside fire pit parties and, you know, a lot of family gatherings. And then it all the old stories would come out. And we heard all kinds of different things from different people about what they've seen or heard or thought of. They all assumed it was Sasquatch.
Oh, okay. Do you remember any of those stories specifically?
A couple. Where my mother claimed that she was in a two-story A-frame house, and she had a weird feeling that something was watching her, and she looked outside the window and saw a set of eyes looking in on her.
What color were the eyes, did she say?
They glowed kind of a bluish green.
Bluish green, wow.
Because, you know, the light was shining out on the
window. Yeah.
And it really scared her because she saw a big object with eyes staring at her. And it was so hard to believe because when you look outside, it's straight down. There's no hill. You know, it's on flat ground. And something to be that tall to be looking in the window, that's pretty scary.
That's very scary.
And we all have guns, so we all took off out the door. Boom. Never saw a thing.
Did you hear it going through the bushes trying to get away?
Nope.
Or
we didn't hear anything.
Nothing.
Nothing.
I've heard they're very quiet when they want to be. When they want to move silently, they do.
I personally believe that they travel with the bears because their footprints are, yes, massively different, but yet if they travel on something that's already well traveled, it's very quiet.
Yeah, because bears make a pretty good path through the woods.
They do.
Yeah, I've also heard that when they want to be loud, they can be extremely loud and threatening. So your mama was telling you about this. Did she tell you anything else about the encounter?
Not really much, because it jumped into another story, you know, from like my grandfather that he claimed he saw him walking in the Yosemite Valley. We've had other neighbors claim that they have felt something terrible, you know, staring in their window at them, where they saw big, deep shadows. Of course, almost every house in that area is built on a hill or A-frame type style.
Uh-huh.
So for them to be looking in an upstairs window, that's a big distance.
Yeah.
That's a big distance.
Very big.
That's not like 4 feet. Like,
no,
you know,
no.
You know, you're talking 10, 15 feet. And so that, you know, we've heard numerous stories throughout the year of just quick sightings, a lot of quick sightings like that. You know, people sitting in their houses. I've only heard of one situation where a gentleman was on a quad, and for some reason he just happened to look back and he saw something huge that he'd never imagined because it was running on two legs, ran behind him across his trail.
Yeah, you know, I've heard of more than one investigator actually looking back. Some of them actually take a mirror and look back their trail on the back trail to see what's coming out behind them, because I've heard they do wait for you to pass, and then they make their presence and they just keep on moving. So that's pretty interesting. How was your mom deeply affected by what she saw? Was she scared to go outside?
My mom's not afraid of nothing.
Most she's, mamas aren't.
she's like Bruce Lee in the short package.
Right.
Did not mess with her.
Okay, so why don't you give me a description of how long ago you had your first encounter.
Well, my first encounter was roughly 4 to 5 years ago.
And was it in this area?
It was in this county. First off, this area where I go hunting and fishing, I go all, me and my brothers and my dad, we fished all over these mountains. We're fishaholics. If there's a moving water stream, we fished it. Okay, my dad took us everywhere, way back, packed in, walked in, you name it. So, very familiar with the area. Well, I've been going and hunting in this one area for quite a few years. And this one particular night, I decided to go fishing. I mean, hunting, excuse me, I'm always fishing. I have my fishing pole with me everywhere I go.
Right.
So, it's out of habit of saying fishing. But I was hunting, and as always, I'm always by myself. And I have a little fold-up recliner, a flashlight, and a bag of jerky. That's all I take with me because I'm not worried about drinking the water out there. I had a straw that filters it if I felt I had to have it. But I've hardly ever used it because the waters are just so clear and crystal clear. And so I'm walking out to this trail where I knew it was going to be evening time. And so I went out to this meadow where I knew there was a nice wide open spot. And I sat down at this rock because I was just going to kick it because it was already getting dark. And without a flashlight, you really don't want to be walking around too much. Mm-hmm. I did have a flashlight, but I didn't even know if the batteries were that great.
Right.
Usually when I go out, I don't change my mind.
You just go.
I'm there. I fold out my chair. I lay down. I wear an insulated suit that has arms and legs. Huh. It's like a sleeping bag. It's so insulated.
Wow.
So I just lay in my chair, put on my little, when I get cold, and sit there and crash out and or stare at the stars all night, whatever. Well, this one certain area that I go hunting in, there's cows. There's always cows. And they're annoying because they got those cowbells. Dun, 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 yeah. And, well, they're terrified of me because every time I go out there, I chase them off.
Uh-huh.
Because there's just so many cows in the area, you can't hear a deer or a bear walk, or you're trying to listen and you got all these cows, so I just spook them.
Right.
You know, I'm not being mean to them, I just, rah, you know, make some noise, and they take off running, and you hear the little bells going, dun, 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 for miles.
Okay.
So, they're familiar with me, these cows. So, every time I show up, they just look at me, they automatically just turn and go. Well, here it is, I'm out in this meadow, and I'm just sitting there, like I said, watching the sun go down, and the cows show up. And I was like, all right, I can handle it. Well, then more cows show up, and more, there's like 45-something cows. Well, they're all sitting, mind you, all around me. And I'm like, man, I can't handle this. So I get up and act like a monkey, shaking my arms, yelling. Well, they take off running. I mean, they're running. But they only ran to the end of the meadow, which is odd. Normally, they keep going. This meadow is probably 500 yards roughly long. It's a long meadow.
Quite big.
I could be off on the size, but it's a really long meadow. And most of the time, that's all it takes one time. Well, these cows kept coming back and laying around my feet and hanging around me. Well, after about the third or fourth time of spooking them off, I didn't feel good about this situation anymore. I felt something's wrong. These cows never come back. They just don't come back. And here they are. They came back three times. And they're all hovering me. Well, now it's dark. Well, the trail that I walk through is very hard to see. Uh-huh. Especially going back at night. And mind you, it just started getting dark. Well, if you're up in the mountains and the sun goes down, you'll know that it's very dark. When it starts being dark. It takes a while for that moon to climb high enough to get above the tree lines before it starts lightening back out. Well, I was getting more and more nervous about these cows because I knew something was wrong for them to keep coming back. And the hair stood up on the back of my neck and I said, oh, even though I had a rifle, but I can't see nothing. You know, so I was, man, it really made me nervous. And I've never been nervous out in the woods my whole life. I mean, I've had stupid things that made me nervous. And I'm like falling down a cliff, running into a rattlesnake, you know, stuff like that. But as far as being afraid to sleep in the forest by myself, never. Well, it irritated me so much, I decided I better walk back to my truck because there's something not right. So, mind you, to find the trail was a little bit hard. Even though I've been on this same trail several times, at night it's a little harder to see your trail.
I've seen just the sky looking like black velvet, you know, with diamonds scattered on it. It's just pitch black. And it's a little bit spooky out there. So did you, when you started feeling your hair going up on your arms, did you get that little instinctual tingling on top of your head? Do you remember?
My whole back of my neck was just moving, man. It was moving the hairs of my head. And I had like goosebumps all up and down my arms. Huh. I knew something wasn't normal. Something that don't just do that for shits and shooting giggles.
Okay.
So, I eventually found my trail, and I'm slowly walking back on this trail. And it's very, you can tell different shades of dark, even though you're in the dark. And so I was walking slow. Believe me, it was hard enough to see. I was walking really slow. But I realized I was on the trail because it's quieter when you're in sand, and the trail is mostly rocky sand. If you're off the trail, it's crunch, crunch, crack, crack from all the pine needles and dead sticks and rocks and whatever else. Well, I get about halfway down the trail, and all of a sudden, something I cannot see, mind you. I'm in a thick, brushy trail. There's pine trees in front of me, beside me, and you're weaving through the trail like a snake in a grass. Because it's that narrow. And I kept hearing this crunch, crack, crack. I mean, something running towards me. And the noise, which was disturbing, wasn't low like a pack of dogs or, you know what I mean? You could hear the brush moving. You could hear a big limb snapping. And it kept messing with my mind because I kept hearing it up high. And I got... Man, so I just stood there. I didn't know what to do. And I faced the noise, and it kept getting closer, and the limbs and stuff were breaking, crunching. And I just got so scared. I thought it was right on the other side of me, so I levered my 30-30 and I shot it. And it was pitch dark, and I saw 3-foot flames coming out my barrel, because you're shooting a gun at dark. And all of a sudden, it just stopped. Total silence. If it was a bear and got scared, you hear it run off. And I stood in that one spot for over 45 minutes. Not a single noise.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, by the way, the forest was dead quiet. Normally you're hearing crickets. Normally you're hearing birds. You're hearing something all the time. It was a death quiet. And that made me so bad. I was shaking. I was shaking. And I was so shaken that I was stepping 1 foot down the trail and looking back. One step, and I only was 2 miles out, and it took me several hours to get to my truck.
Oh, I would think so.
I was terrified. No, I was terrified.
Yeah, I would be.
Meanwhile, too. I started smelling something that was just very pungent. Very, very pungent. I don't know how to... Man, it was just a musky smell that just got really strong and stronger. And then as I was backing up, it went away, the smell. You know, so I was... And as I got closer to my truck, mind you, 2 hours of walking, one step by step, totally freaking terrified, I got back to my truck. The moon was just starting to hit the tops of the trees. And I finally quit shaking because I could barely start to see stuff. And I relaxed a little bit. So I sat in my truck, man, I drank a cup of coffee, and I was just trying to weigh out what the heck happened to me. What was that? You know, it made... No noise, no nothing at this time. And it's just the loud crunching. And then the fact that it just stopped. I felt like whatever it was now following me. I just felt like I was being followed.
How close did you feel it was from you at that point?
At that point, not knowing, I figured it was probably 15, 20 yards.
Yeah, and they can cross that distance in no time.
Okay, so I was pretty terrified. Well, I got to my truck, man. I finally took a deep breath, you know, because now it's, you know, I'm at my truck. I have everything I need there, comfort, whatever, you know. It's just comfort of being in my truck, knowing, hey, if something happens, I can jump in it. So, I get in my truck. I set my gun down on the inside of the truck, but pointed towards the window because I was still unsure of what was taking place. And I just started to relax. And all of a sudden, I saw a shadow right outside my window.
Oh, my goodness.
That was so dark because now it's light. So it was close to my truck. It wasn't like 15 feet away from my truck. It was like right outside my window of my truck that was rolled down. And I heard this deep, deep, and I'm talking like, and then it just got louder to us like, a high-pitched scream that I've never heard before in all my life of being in the woods. And I hit the damn key, boom, and I never looked back and I hauled ass the hell out of there. And to this day, I still have trouble. I won't camp in that area to this day. I'll go out there during the daytime, but I will not go out there at night. And someone will be with me after that time. And I was just trying to weigh out what I saw, but it was like getting gone. But then again, I was hauling ass on a little dirt road. And I was making tracks out of there because I was terrified. I've never experienced such a deep growling, then high-pitched scream in all my life.
And that was
coming out of one animal.
And that wasn't nothing that a human could actually make.
I can never imitate that at all.
Never.
It vibrated my truck.
Really?
I mean, you felt the force of that growl and that scream.
That's terrifying.
I've heard
they're like a lion roaring at a zoo.
That's minute.
Oh, really?
That's minute.
Well, I don't think I'd want to have that comparison to find out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it scared me pretty bad. That's the first time in my life I've ever been afraid in the woods. And I'm still nervous, even though I go camping out by myself. But I go to different places and I don't stay long.
Well, how long ago was this encounter?
Roughly, it's either 4 or 5 years. It's in that time frame, definitely. But I can't remember if it was the 5th year or the 4th year I was hunting.
Yeah, so for something like that, that's so monumental, that would must just seem like yesterday to you.
When I talk about the story, I was getting goosebumps as we talked.
Yeah, I can tell you get visibly moved by what you're saying.
It's so scared me bad.
Yeah. So what happened after that?
Well, I went to a friend of mine, and we decided to go back the next day to look to find my casing.
Uh-huh.
And then we decided to look for all that damage I was hearing, all the branches breaking, there had to be a trail. Well, the trail was all the high limbs in daytime. You could see the trail. You couldn't see footprints because it was all heavy brushed logs, trees, a lot of bark knocked off a lot of trees, but you were seeing the broken branches where I heard this thing running for at least almost a quarter mile.
Wow. How high up were they?
At least 8 feet and higher.
8 feet and higher. So its shoulders were probably at that level.
At that level, breaking branches.
Wow.
Yeah. Because it was high. Remember, I told you it was high. It was thick forest in this area.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of cedar trees, pine trees, that are, you know, old limbs. They were just all frayed. You could see just a big old line of them being busted that was running towards me.
I couldn't even imagine what it would be like to be by yourself in the forest in pitch black, trying to find a little bitty trail, hearing something that high coming at you.
Charging you.
Much less something low coming at you, charging at you, which would be more normal. But the fact that it's coming at you from the heights is what I would just be terrified.
You can tell it was not on the ground, like something normal. It was coming from higher above.
What was going through your head at that point? What did you think it was?
I had no idea. I just was scared as hell because it was coming and it was coming hard. And it wasn't slowing down. And I even yelled, hey, I forgot to mention. I said, didn't even stop it until I levered my shot, my 30-30.
Yeah, like a bear would naturally
thought
about it.
Bears are funny.
Yeah.
I've been chased by bears.
Yeah.
I've had them crawl on my truck.
Oh.
We've had them sleep on our front porch in Long Barn.
Yeah.
We've been chased by them. they're kind of funny. When they're pissed off, they don't care about anything.
Right.
But usually they have to be mad at something for them to chase you.
Right.
A bear just doesn't chase you down, especially a black bear.
For no reason, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So unless, and you know, okay, let's just say it was a bear. It must have thought it was a deer. You know what I mean?
Right.
If it was a bear. But a bear, the average bear, if it stood on its hind legs, might be 10 feet. Might be. Might be. I doubt it very, very yeah, much. The average is probably 7 or 8 feet.
Yeah, it is.
But I'm just saying, yeah. Okay, let's just say it was a really big bear. Uh-huh. Those branches ain't going to break like that. A bear chasing you, he ain't chasing you on 2 legs.
Nope.
He's chasing you on 4 legs. So right. In other words, he's not going to be that tall.
Uh-uh.
At all. And a bear will make noise. Man, I've heard them. Man, when they come after your food, they go, I'm not eating the food. It's the cutest thing I've ever heard. They were coming after my bacon. Because I cook bacon for breakfast.
Well, you know, I make that sound when I go after bacon, too, so.
No, but they make this rumbling sound that is historical. Because one bear was coming in to get it. Well, yeah. A bigger bear said, no, you're not getting it. And he made this crazy humming noise like that.
Yeah.
And chased the other bear off. Bear, I've never heard a bear scream in my life.
Yeah, I might fight a bear over bacon, just saying. You never know.
Bacon's good stuff.
Right? So what?
Yeah. So it was really, really wild, scary.
That's crazy. So when your friend and you went out there, what time of day was it?
It was early.
You wanted to make sure you had enough sunlight this time, didn't you?
Yeah, I wasn't going out there dark even with a friend, and we brought guns. You know, we were making sure we were well armed.
What did you tell your friend when you're trying to explain this to him?
Well, my friend believes in Sasquatch.
Uh-huh.
He personally said he's never seen it, but he believes in it.
Uh-huh.
Because there's so many of his relatives have spoken of it throughout the years. And so he was all for going.
Gung-ho, huh?
He was gung-ho, and I really wasn't all that gung-ho. But I said, hey, it's daytime. We got guns.
A little more brave.
Yeah. way braver.
Okay. No,
way braver. And I said, all right, man, let's go. So I took him out to the area, and we first went to look for the casing, like I said, and I showed him where it was. Well, then we were walking up the trail more, and there we found some, in the daytime, we noticed that there was Indian grind, where they ground their wheat in the rocks. Uh-huh.
And the acorns and whatnot.
Yeah, we found a big rock that was just full of these beautiful holes, and my buddy was explaining to me what these were. And all of a sudden, we heard something going crunch, 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 but it wasn't coming towards us. It was running away from us, and we looked up, and lo and behold, we saw not one, but two clearing a big log that was probably 7 foot off the ground because the tree is very long. And so it was grounded out where the stump was, where it fell over, and it was leaning on a rock. And two massive, massive, massive looking hairy things just hurtled them like nothing and ran up the hill. Well, then we got more intrigued. So we decided to follow those things. And it was snowing. And we saw 3 sets of tracks, totally separate. So there was a third one we did not even know of until after we were walking up the hill more. And it was some thicker snow. And we saw 3 sets of tracks that were humongous. And oddly enough, they do resemble the bear, but they're so much wider. And their heels are so much more in depth. And it's 3 times the size of the biggest bear track I've ever seen. The littlest one.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, I would stand to reason that the heel is going to sink in when they're running like that.
You know, and it was terrible because we didn't have a camera. Of all the things we thought about bringing was to protect ourselves, we didn't bring a freaking camera. And we could have got pictures, and we didn't get them.
Well, you know, a lot of people think they can, but usually they're so startled when they actually see one, they don't even think about pulling the camera out. I've heard a lot of people say that. So
plus you're in total freaking shock of what you're seeing.
Yeah. So the little footprint, the littlest one, how wide was it, do you think?
It's just it started the heel. The heel was probably 8 inches, probably, across.
And how long was it?
Oh, it was really long. It was probably 13, roughly 13 from heel to toenails.
Okay. And how about the other two tracks?
They were bigger. They were much wider. They weren't much longer, but they were wider.
Were they roughly the same size as the other?
The tracks between the two
big ones, yeah.
Yeah, they were roughly really close and same. Really, really, really close. Mind you, we were in the snow looking at them, you know, and it was like a fresh print. It was like, wow, look how wide that is. You know, it was wide. It was wide.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. You're talking, I don't know, man. God, it was wide.
Like probably 9 inches?
Probably. Maybe even wider on one of them. But it was just the heel was so definite. Right. And then it had a massive arch cut, like a human. You could just see it arch out. And then all of a sudden it fanned out. It fanned out like from the beginning. If you were to look at your fingers and where your fingers attach, that part was amazingly wide where it attaches.
Yeah.
It was just holy smokes, man. And we never went back out there.
So how deep was the snow when you went out there?
It was roughly about probably 3 inches.
So just a little bit then.
Yeah, it just really started coming down. It hailed like hell on us, you know, and we didn't think, come on, we're from here. What's a little hail?
Right.
But at that elevation, you know, you got to be concerned about it. But we were in four-wheel drive, so we weren't like, oh my God, it's snowing, let's get out of here.
Right.
Because half the time it'll be a flurry. It'll just come a big cloud. It'll dump like hell and then quit.
Yeah, so the stride length, how from one footprint to another footprint of the same creature, how long was that?
I had to jump. I couldn't step in their same tracks. I had to literally jump from one to the other. We tried that just to kind of see.
Yeah. So they were running. So how far apart were they, do you think?
Their stride was probably 6 to 7 feet.
Wow. So did they, when they were running, was it like a smooth gait? Were they running on all fours and then jumping?
No, there was no all four, nothing.
Okay.
We just, when we heard this crunch, we could see them going over this log. And this log, like I said, because mind you, when a tree falls, it's got branches all over it, right? And it falls down. Some trees don't land on the ground for quite some time because of their branches holding them up. But we walked up to that log. And it was taller than my head. And I'm 5'11 and a half. And I was almost in the center of the tree. So we figured it was close to 7 feet.
And they just moved smoothly.
And they went right over it. Like it just hurtled it. Like, and they just kept right on going.
Didn't break in stride or anything, huh?
There was nothing. It was just so fast. It was like, yeah, I don't know if you've ever seen a deer run.
Yeah.
But it was like, gone.
That's amazing.
We're like, holy crap.
Yeah, a lot of people have likened them to ghosts, like watching a ghost move through the forest because they're so smooth and liquidy when they move, you know. Like, when they want to be quiet, you won't hear them, you know. So what happened? How did your friend react to seeing him?
His jaw dropped, and he was just like, this is the first time I've seen a Bigfoot. I've heard about it, heard the stories. Wow. Tom, I saw a Bigfoot. And I said, yeah, I wasn't joking, man. You know? I said, I don't make up stories just to make them up.
Right.
So it was so cool that I got confirmation from my buddy.
Yeah, that always helps a bit. It helps, you know, your sanity level.
Yeah, so it was nuts. And I never really went back in that area too much after that. I've gone all around the area. And yes, in the daytime I will go there. You know, but I'm carrying guns. I'm carrying guns, and I don't usually go in that same area alone. But I have gone on closer mountain ranges, and I've had a couple of different experiences there at different mountain. Same area, but a different mountain, you know, a different hill over, you know.
Yeah.
Like half mile away.
When you saw these three beings, what color were they? Were they all the same color?
Oh, yeah. They were definitely a reddish brown.
A reddish brown?
Yeah. Kind of like a, you know how a blonde can have reddish highlights, strawberry.
Right.
It was kind of like a reddish strawberry brown.
Huh.
Deep brown, yes, but it had highlighted hairs around its neck.
And you didn't get to see any of their facial features? Or
they were running.
Running, yeah.
Always saw it with back. You didn't even see their ears. You didn't see none of that. You just saw something big and huge and just hurtled a freaking log that's taller than me up a hill. And then they were just gone. By the time I couldn't run fast enough to even think about catching up to something like that. And to be honest with you, we were still going, wow. We were in that one spot for a good 15, 20 minutes just going, wow, what did we really just see?
Yeah.
So it was pretty impressive.
So after that, you guys just left the forest, or what did you do after that?
We walked around to see if there was any other tracks to see, like, well, where did they come from? So we walked and walked and walked, and pretty soon it started snowing more, and all we saw was big, massive footprints, you know, heading for probably a quarter of a mile, but it never stopped snowing, and it just started really starting to dump.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, 3 inches became 6 inches, and we're like, eh, maybe we should start our way out of here, you know, because it is quite a drive out there.
Yeah.
And you got to go slow because you're not going to race or nothing like that. Plus, we were in no hurry to leave because we were so intrigued at what we were seeing, but we did have a stopping point where we had to leave, so we didn't get to see, like, where they came from.
Right. So how long after that did you see your friend again after that day?
Oh, we talked several days.
Several days in a row?
Yeah.
What was his overall take from it? Was he scared to go back in the forest? Was he intrigued?
He was a little more intrigued and wanted to go check it out more.
Yeah.
And I told him, you're welcome to.
Well, he didn't have the experience you had the first night either. So.
No, you know. And, you know, of course, going up there in the daytime, that's a lot braver. Knowing that you're coming back in daylight, you know, and knowing that you have enough weapons to knock down anything that's coming at you. I don't care if it's Bigfoot. I'm sorry, 12-gauge slugs will knock down anything.
Yeah. Question, when you were looking at the tracks in the snow, did you happen to notice any blood from possibly shooting it the night before? Do you think you hit it?
We looked all over that night from that day. We looked all around. And then we didn't see a drop of blood nowhere. And it's so treed that we're trying to find maybe where the slug might have went. But you got to realize it's so thick and treed. And when I levered that back and shot, I wasn't aiming because there was nothing I could see to aim at.
Right.
So I don't know if it went that direction or that direction. You know what I mean? But you can plainly see where I stood. You can plainly see where the shell ejected from. And they were all pointing in one direction. You know what I mean? But so I couldn't pinpoint exactly where, but so we took a radius, you know, of like 10, 15 feet, and we were walking all over. We didn't see no blood, nothing.
Huh. Maybe you guys didn't look high enough up the trees.
You know, well, I couldn't tell whether I was pointing.
Right?
It was dark. You know, I could have been pointing 6 feet in the air. Yeah. Well, by the time it goes another couple feet, that could be a couple more feet. That could be a couple.
Exactly.
You know, we were sitting there trying to find tracks, and it was obvious the trail from all the broken branches that was just big, huge branches, not just little twigs, big branches.
So can you tell us about, after that, you said you saw one again or had an encounter again on another mountain, the same mountain range, but a different mountain?
Yes.
Can you tell us about that?
I can tell you about it. I didn't see it, but, well, let me tell you my story.
Okay.
I go out camping, and I had a buddy who came out with me. Okay? Well, he ended up having to leave for some emergency. Oddly enough, when you're in a tree stand out there, we're in a tree stands, you can get signal on your cell phone. So it was kind of like, that was kind of cool to know because every night I'd climb my tree stand, tell my baby goodnight that I'm all right, and then climb back down and go to bed. All right? Because that way, you know, I always told her where I was, what area. So it was our communication thing going up and down the tree stand. Well, he got a call and he had to leave. Well, I had a funny feeling, but it was just a funny feeling, mind you. I'm by myself, which I didn't claim I'd never want to be. And it's bow season, so I don't have a gun. Well, I was so nervous I didn't get much sleep. Well, then I climbed back up the tree the next morning. And my girlfriend says, hey, I'm going to come out today and visit you. My girlfriend never goes out in the woods with me. Okay, she just does not. But she was going to be nice. She brought us a bottle of wine and pizza.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it was just a small little, wasn't like a big bottle of wine, but it was probably a half pint or whatever, you know, just a little for like two glasses, maybe. And so, man, she brought me pizza. I was all excited, and we were sitting there eating, and all of a sudden, man, the hair stood back up on my neck again. Well, mind you, I'm not going to tell my girlfriend, who just came out, her very first time, that I have a bad feeling. So I'm being quiet about it all night long. I couldn't sleep a wink. I was so nervous. Well, she left that morning, and because she didn't want to hang around. She's not the mountain girl. You know, her idea of camping is, you know, having an RV or something, you know, where you can have running water and all the ghosts.
Yeah, I think they call that glamping. Yeah.
You know, and hey, I was so happy that she just came out with me. And so I was real nervous. Well, then my buddy, while I'm out in my tree stand, calls me saying, I'm going to come back out this evening. So I decided to stay. Okay? I decided to stay. Well, he never showed up.
Oh, no.
I need to say he never showed up. He didn't show up at all. Oh. And, of course, he didn't call me because I couldn't get service because I wasn't in my tree stand.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, I smelled that smell. And I said, no. And, man, I'm like, oh, my God, I'm getting goosebumps right now. And all of a sudden, it growled from on top of the mountain and screamed at me. I have never packed so fast in my life.
I would think.
I was so terrified because it was, oh my gosh, it scared me. And so I never have ever gone up there in bow season, period, with not a gun. And I don't spend the night on those mountain ranges at all. And if I go somewhere, I only spend one or two nights, and I leave to this day because I feel it knows me. I mean, that may sound weird, but I know it. I feel that it knows me, because why would it scream at me on the top of the hill when I've been there for 3 days? It found me. It smelled me out. I think it's me.
Yeah.
I shot at it. Yeah. I don't think it's going to forget it soon. I don't know how smart these things are, but I don't know. I have a funny feeling.
I think they're exceedingly smart.
You know, I think they're very smart because they haven't been, quote, you know, publicized in the newspaper every day, and no one hardly ever sees them. They only be seen when they want to be seen.
Right.
Unless you're lucky.
So did it smell just like the first one?
Oh, my God, yes, but not as strong because it wasn't as close.
Right, so you're downwind from it.
I'm way downwind, and I can still smell it.
Oh.
I mean, first I thought my mind was just playing tricks, you know? But then there you go with that deep brrr, man. It was such a deep growl. And then just, I mean, bellowed out to such a high-pitched scream. I was like, I'm out of here. I'm gone. See ya.
So do you believe it was probably a big male or a big female?
Since I can't say that, I don't know. I can only assume.
Yeah, personally, I would assume it's probably a male and you're in his territory.
That's highly possible.
Yeah, because if he has, you know, maybe the other one was a female and an offspring that was with them that day or that night. And maybe that's why he charged you.
Well.
Picking up on your testosterone.
Well, this is the last time I went in that same area. I got one more story.
Well, I don't blame you, so let's hear the...
I went with a group of friends.
Okay.
And I snore real bad. I've been kicked out. I don't want to get crazy into that, but I snore so bad that people move camp.
Oh, wow.
They hop in my truck and leave me places, because once I'm asleep, I'm dead. All right? So here it is. We're setting up camp. Well, then I wake up in the middle of the night, and all my buddies are gone. I had this camp, and I had a tent. Well, I heard something go like wind, and then cuckoo, 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 cuckoo. So, man, what the heck is that? Get out my flashlight, you know, and I'm looking around. I don't really see anything right offhand that looks out of normal. Mm-hmm. I go back in my tent 20 minutes later. Cuckoo, cuckoo, crunch. This time something hit a tree. I went, all right, that's it. I open up, I get out my flashlight. And I'm looking around my camp, and I turn behind me, and there's boulders that weren't there when I first came.
Oh, my goodness.
I left immediately.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't hear a scream this time. I didn't hear a yell. And I didn't even smell them. But something threw those boulders.
How big were they? How big were they?
They were, I couldn't even move them at all. So they had to be 500-600 pounds at least. So that's the last time I ever, you know.
How close was the closest hill to you?
The closest hill?
Yeah, like if they threw it from a height.
They were above me. Because it was up like a slant, and then they had a little flat area. Uh-huh. Okay, so, you know, I'm in my tent, and I always have my back against the wall. So you can get out, you know, there's nothing there. Well, there was rocks to the left side of me. So I feel they were on the other side of me and threw them like sideways across my tent. And those boulders were not there before.
You know, I've heard they're extremely accurate with their throwing, like Major League Baseball accurate. I believe personally they were probably trying to scare you off, but that's just my opinion.
Oh, it did.
Yeah, it worked. No.
So it did. I mean, I still go out in the woods to this day, but I stay away from these two mountain ranges because they're just too close to each other. And I never stay in the woods more than 2 days, ever. Because it's always on the third or fourth day that something happens.
Yeah, that's crazy. It must recognize your scent.
I believe it does.
Yeah, I mean, when you smell these things, is it one of those real thick smells where you can taste it? Or
I could taste it.
Oh, that's nasty.
Is that strong? My hearing, I'm almost deaf. I have to wear hearing aids. And I've been blind for 6-7 months, totally blind from an explosion. So I don't have the best eyesight. And I don't have the best hearing. But I can smell anything a mile away. I'm half bloodhound.
Yeah.
So, man, it was just scary stuff. Scary stuff.
So, in your opinion, do you think this is more of an ape? Or do you think it's more on the human side?
Well, I'm not a biologist or any of that stuff. But, you know, you're looking at an overgrown ape with human characteristics.
Yeah. That's...
It doesn't use its hands to run.
It runs.
It runs.
Yeah.
Just like we do.
It runs like a human, or does it have more of like a hopping leap?
No, you think you're looking at a track star, but only big and lengthy.
Wow. I would imagine. Okay, so what's your take from all this? What did it teach you?
Well, it woke me up to a lot of things. To be more cautious of your surroundings. Don't go out in the woods alone and pack for everything. Because you just never know what the hell is going to happen to you.
Right.
So now when I go out in the woods, I have 5 different ways to start a fire. Road flares, you name it. Because you don't know what the hell is going to happen to you or where you're going to be. And always carry extra clothes. And key thing, always, always, always tell someone where you're at. Draw them a map where you're at. And don't leave that area that you're going to be in. So if something happens, they can find you. I never used to think about anything like that because I've been born in these woods my whole life. I used to spend weeks out all by myself on my horse ever since I was a little kid. My parents, I'd come home, leave. Never, ever have I ever feared the woods or got lost.
Yeah, you still frequently go out fishing and...
I have never looked over my shoulder so much in all my life since that happened. I used to never look behind me or even care where I was even going. But I was so busy looking for the next fishing hole. You know?
Right.
I used to... But now I take a lot of precautions and I definitely carry a gun.
Yeah.
And a backup gun. Oh, and a backup gun.
Yeah. Well, I just want to thank you for coming in today because it was definitely a fun interview. If anybody and our listeners has an encounter, if you want to go to SasquatchLegend.com, you can actually tell us about your encounter. Or if you want to send us a message on Sasquatch Legend Shock Bomb Facebook, we can get that from you there too. And y'all stay safe. And thank you, Tom. It was a lot of fun talking to you and very informative.
Thank you for having me.
And I really, really hope you don't have another encounter, and you got to talk to your buddy about, you know, showing up when they say they're going to show up. So, yeah.
That's guaranteed.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And y'all have a good evening out there.
Thank you.
This is J.D. Hughes.